Welcome once again to Word on the Hills with me, Gwen Sheltimer, my co-host Felicity Sidnell-Reed, Chris Cameron, our sound editor, and our guest this week, Anne-Marie Burris. Each week at this time, we visit with a local or regional author or other persons involved with readers and writers. We ask our guests to introduce us to their work and to read for us. We like to get a glimpse into their lives and find out what inspires them and what prompts them to write. We are delighted to have Anne-Marie Burris join us today by Zoom. And this is the first time we're using Zoom as one of our methods of getting our program to you during these difficult times. So welcome, Anne-Marie.
Thank you. I'm very honored to be here.
Anne-Marie Burris, who also answers to her pen name Mia, lives in the country north of Coburg in a restored one-room schoolhouse, making occasional forays into Toronto, where she continues to provide accounting services for various charities. She prefers, however, using words and images to explore the boundaries and spaces between what is spoken and silent, solid and ephemeral, known and unknowable, and mindful and mindless. So, Anne-Marie, even the introduction sounds poetic. And after all, we are here in Poetry Month, celebrated in Canada and USA in April. I believe the UK has several celebratory days and put October Poetry Month into their calendar in 2000. In 1999, UNESCO, the United Nations Educational, Scientific and Cultural Organization, declared March 21st to be World Poetry Day. So that's a lot of celebrating of poetry. Why are we celebrating poetry, do you think?
I like Ursula Le Guin's definition of poetry, which is, it's a patterned intensity of language. And its beauty is not merely ornament, but is itself the meaning of the poem. And I think especially in our busy days that we fill with work and various things, that we need to make a little bit of space for beauty and intensity. I would add that the beauty comes from inside us, and that's how others recognize the beauty in poetry. But it's also, as an act of human creativity, it requires a certain amount of polishing. And I think determining the degree of polish is part of the art. And there's much to celebrate in Poetry Month, merely being human and connecting with other humans from anywhere in the world, in whatever language.
I think you're right. I like the aspect of having a specific Poetry Month just to tweak our minds too, to celebrate with others something that they don't normally think about. So it's nice to get it out there on the airwaves. What is poetry itself? You know, you had talked about the beauty and so on, but what do you think of as poetry, say, versus prose? And why do you think it's important to have poetry?
I'd rather not use the word important. I think it's too easily judged and argued. I think part of what poetry is that it's essential. And this is something we're talking about now during these times of quarantine. It's an essential human activity. Humans are essentially storytellers and music makers, and poetry is the confluence of the two. It's as essential as any other act of creation.
I like that, a confluence. I haven't heard that way of thinking of it before, but I really do like that because there is such a musical element in poetry. What about your own poetry? What inspires you to write it?
In fact, it is the love of lyricism that inspires me to write, the musicality of it. Also, the need for an avocation. I'm an accountant. People don't usually associate accountants with being poets. In fact, I remember reading in a poetry handbook, much to my chagrin, that if you have a logical mind, you should go and do math. And I don't actually agree that they're mutually exclusive, having a creative mind and a logical mind. but the need for an avocation inspires me, and the wonderful work of other writers, which I see as a challenge, and I try to rise to that challenge. Some of my favorite poets that I keep going back to are Rumi and Mary Oliver and Dylan Thomas. I don't know what particularly to tell you about my own poetry, but perhaps we'll just let the poems speak for themselves.
Well, on that note, perhaps we'll ask you to read for us. Tell us what poems you have chosen, why you chose them for today's reading, and perhaps what inspired them.
Okay, this first one is one of my earlier poems. It started, in fact, really just the first verse was one of my earliest poems. And it's like what I remember reading in a biography of Margaret Atwood, that her first poem fell from the sky. And I feel the same way about this one, that the first verse fell from the sky. And then, but then, of course, I had to fiddle with it for years. So the second verse came really some years later after some reflection. And then I had written two other verses, which I excised and last year replaced with a third verse. And so this poem seems never to want to be finished. Not that I'm dissatisfied with it, but I'll go ahead and read it. It's because it's been changed so many times, it doesn't have a title. Swimming your slipstream, I fall, I float. You plunge, you slip along streaming, you drink, you kiss. I love, I live for the river, the lover you are. I long for the smooth water gloss that slips your lips, your shivery whispers. I drink, I love. You lie, you slip away silver, you're riven from me. I sense in the silence of sea, of moon, your love, your lingering essence, it fades, it ebbs. I'll leave, I'll live for the love that is one with the sun. This next one is a villanelle, so it's written to a specific form. And it's the topic is bells, which to me, bells are one of the better human inventions, and there's a lot I want to say about it at some point, but this one is called A Slender Villanelle for a Bell, and it is slender. It's really only probably got 2 metric feet each line, and I've inserted the famous line from Hemingway, sort of as a prelude, and therefore, never send to know for whom the bell tolls. It tolls for thee. A Slender Villanelle for a Bell. The bell's clear ring, sweet purification, for you it sings. The flowering of earthly creations, a bell's pure ring, and signaling our deep veneration, how true it sings. Far echoing, long reverberation, the bell's deep ring. When everything's hellfire and damnation, so too it sings. And wisdom brings a grave revelation, the bell's clear ring, for you it sings.
Well, thank you, Anne-Marie. That was lovely.
This next one is another one written to a form called a pontoon. And it was inspired by notes that I wrote when I lived in the city. I used to spend a lot of time on the Leslie Street Spit, which is an interesting environment, looking like a strip of wilderness laid down in the lake with a view of all of downtown. So this one is called At Once City and Country. As silencing as snow, the living layer of green buries another failure of civilization. What's left of it, a shattered geometry. A living layer of green, berries, sedges, horsetails, goldenrod, aspen. What's left of it? A shattered geometry. Slabs of sidewalk, crushed concrete poles. Sedges, horsetails, goldenrod, aspen, necrotized and skeletal. Slabs of sidewalk, crushed concrete poles, stripped of utility, twisted and spalled. Necrotized and skeletal, trees blackened by cormorants and stripped of utility, twisted and spalled, guard reeking beaches of pebble and tile. trees blackened with cormorants and tattered flurries of gulls guard reeking beaches of pebble and tile, screaming, banshee-ing as one. Tattered flurries of gulls, a silver jetliner coming in low, screaming, banshee-ing as one, as deafening as thunder. A silver jetliner coming in low, another failure of civilization, deafening as thunder, silencing as snow.
Well, thank you, Anne-Marie. And now I think we're going to have to take a short break. We've been speaking with Anne-Marie Burris here in Poetry Month.